www.mypillow.com.
Well, I think one of the best things for me in Dublin is that when people come, Dublin, it's a small city and it's easy to get around, yeah, and it's very accessible. The transport's great, yeah, the people are pleasant, you know, and they've got like, it's a multicultural place now. Yeah, so you'll meet a lot of different people here, and they will welcome you to the city. The food is excellent, although I don't eat a lot. I'm a vegetarian myself, but the food is excellent here. It's good quality food, so you will be well cared for, and it's an easy, accessible place to get round. I think Dublin has a very old history. The Vikings were here just up the road, you know, and this is where it all started. So, you know, yeah, historically, you know, if you look around Dublin, the buildings are lovely to look at. But you see, unfortunately, a lot of people, when they come, they don't look up. You know, people usually look down, or they're looking at cafe windows. You know, they need to look up and see the buildings for what they are. I mean, if you go down O'Collins Street and sit in O'Collins Street and just look at the buildings, yeah, you'll see. The shop fronts might be different, but the buildings are the same. And they would go back hundreds of years, maybe, some of those buildings, you know. So I'd say to people, look up and see, look for what you can see, you know. But the history of Dublin is, yeah, it's old, you know, 1,000 years old. So look for it, you know, and you'll find it.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney broadcasting live from Dublin, Ireland. Hello. Boy, what a thrill to be here. Very excited. Thanks to the Tourism Board of Ireland and some wonderful folks for having me over here. The gathering in Ireland is 2013, and I'm going to tell you how you can be a part of it. After all, everybody likes to claim they're Irish, right? So, and since I am an Irish American, could I be more Irish? Catherine Shana Fitzgerald Delaney. I can't tell you how thrilled my family is that I am here on Irish soil. After all, that's that tracing the roots thing that is so, so big. You see it with so many people that desperately want to find the genealogy to find out, where did you come from? Where did we come from all the way back? And tracing those roots. So I'm going to get a chance to actually do that, trace my family's roots while I'm here. And I've already spent some time in Dublin and some time in Belfast in Northern Ireland. You know, I picked a great time to do that, actually, because it turns out there was a small earthquake in in my hometown in Dallas over the weekend. No injuries, but 3.4, and it happened just after 11 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, and it really, pardon the pun, shook people up because they're not used to earthquakes. So hundreds of people called the 911 line. There wasn't damage, there wasn't injuries, but as I said, people were really rocked by this. And where the epicenter was in a place called Irving. It's where the Dallas Cowboys used to play. It's about 14 miles west of downtown. So how about that? I missed the earthquake. A couple of things have happened over the weekend, good and bad. And I guess from the sense of bad is of American pride anyways, the fact that we lost the Ryder Cup after we were pounding the Europeans. In the end, they came back to beat the Americans in a real shocker. And this is, you know, this is, I know, sport, but there is something about the pride that you feel when you're competing internationally. It's like the whole deal with the Olympics and why so many people are glued to the Olympics. So for the Europeans, it was definitely one for the ages. For the Americans, it wasn't. And this was played in Chicago in Illinois. So a 10-6 lead to start out on Sunday and then ultimately collapsing. The Europeans win 14.5 to 13.5. Do you believe it? Do you believe that the great collapse in Chicago? They've made money because people came to see no matter what. So from that perspective, at least a city that drew a lot of people to it doesn't lose economically, but we lose on other ends. And the reason I bring up the Ryder Cup here right from the top is because being in Ireland, a lot of the conversation when they talk about sports heroes centers around a guy named Rory McIlroy. Rory McIlroy is an Irish golfer, only 23 years old. He's already won a PGA championship. Just amazing. Won two majors and a bunch of PGA stops. He's had a very, very good year. And this is a kid that's just not intimidated. And the people in Ireland love him. He's from a place called Hollywood, Ireland. So how about that? Coming up in this hour, we're going to give you a little flavor of Ireland. And we're going to introduce you to the captain of a ship called the Jeannie Johnston. It's a tall ship famine museum that they have. When I say we're tracing roots, one of the things that some of you can relate to for how your family came to the United States, let's say you do have some sort of Irish roots, but for whatever reasons that your family way back when emigrated to the U.S., unless that's not the case, and let's say you're an American Indian, but one of the reasons the Irish made that immigration to the United States is because of the potato famine, and many of them didn't survive those trips. And on the Jeannie Johnston, many of them survived. They had an incredible record, a survival record, and it was tough times, but they were willing to do whatever they had to do to get out of the situation in Ireland, where they were literally starving to death. And it's something that the Irish people didn't really talk about that much, in a sense, and now they're embracing their history. And as someone explained to me, you would maybe get a page in the history books, maybe in your equivalent of a history class, talk about it a little bit, but now they go back and they trace it, kind of like our civil wars and other things that have happened in the United States. Instead of burying some of the information, now they're sharing it with the kids, and this is just something new. So the famine ship is something pretty new too, so people can get a sense of more of the history of Ireland. And the Jeannie Johnston is in Dublin, so we're going to talk to that captain coming up. I did an interview with a couple of my talk show host pals that are also in Ireland, and I think you'll enjoy that. This hour, we will pay attention to the campaigns as well. The campaigns are digging in before this first debate. And, you know, are debates something, and I've said this before and we've talked about it on the show, but are debates something that you are paying attention to? Is this a switch that you'll flip that might make you change your mind on what you think you're going to do if you go and vote? And I hope you do go and vote, because living in the United States is a tremendous privilege. I embrace being an American. Every day of my life, I thank God that I live in a place like the United States. And that's why so often we're passionate here on America Tonight. And I hear it in your voices when you call up and you're furious about something that's happened out of Washington. It's because you care. You care that your children and that your grandchildren have the opportunities that we've been afforded to live in this country, where we have freedom of speech and whatnot. So is the debate something that you'll pay attention to that could change your mind in some way, could send you voting perhaps, or could make you think differently of either the president or Mitt Romney? And for Mitt Romney, somebody asked me the other day, who has the pressure? Is it Mitt Romney or is it the Prez? I think it's Mitt Romney, because he needs to really shine for people who still aren't so sure about what he's about. So we're going to talk about that too. But sit back, relax, and enjoy this conversation about the famine ship. Kate Delaney live from Dublin, Ireland. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. October 1st, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $1768.50. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1812.03, $906.02 for a half ounce, or $453.01 for a quarter ounce. That's $1812.03, $906.02, and $453.01.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
To America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, not in America, broadcasting live, what a privilege, from Dublin, Ireland. We're going to talk about the potato famine. During the famine, about 1 million people died and 1 million more emigrated from Ireland, causing the population to fall by between 20 and 25%. They call it the potato blight, the potato disease. That's what it was. That's what happened. And we're going back to, you know, Europe and what was going on across Europe in the 1840s. So one of the things that you can learn about and one of the things that you can see, I mean, this is part of the history of Ireland. It's what we would call a real watershed moment because it permanently changed the demographics of Ireland and the landscape at the time, certainly. So what I love about it is that you can find out what it was like for the people to be on the ships, take the journey. And the Jeannie Johnson is one of those tall ship famine museums. And we had a chance to actually catch up with the captain of the ship to learn how the Irish emigrated and made those transatlantic passages during those tough, tough famine years. So we're on the deck of the Jeannie Johnson. Tell us about the significance of this boat.
Okay, well, it's a replica of the original ship that sailed across the Atlantic during the Great Potato Famine. This one was built in Blennerville, which is outside Tralee in County Kerry, where the original ship sailed from. In relation to the name of the ship, Jeannie Johnston, it's not entirely known where it came from, but it is known that the famous Scottish poet and songwriter Robert Burns quite often stayed in the shipbuilder's family home. Shipbuilder's name was John Munn, and the original was actually built in Quebec in Canada in 1847. It is known that he did use characters' names from Robert Burns' works for the names of his ships. Like, a good example would be a ship called the Highland Mary. She was a mistress of Robert Burns. But of course, they say if you read the history of Robert Burns, she was one of many. In relation to the name of the ship, they say it might be two names and two different things. Possibly the name Jeannie being inspired by Robert Burns' wife, Jean Armour, as he called her Jeannie and used her name quite a lot in his works. But the Johnston name, unfortunately, it's not really known where that came from.
How many people would you estimate could have been on a particular voyage with a ship this size?
Yeah, well, the Jeannie Johnston made 16 American voyages between 1848 and 1855, an average voyage of 40 and 50 days, and she was carrying an average of 200 passengers. Her record amount was in the year 1852, with 254 passengers and a crew of 17.
The essence of life on this ship for 2 weeks or more, or a ship like this, food, enough, not enough. Some of the ships made it with all the people okay. Others had people die, and some of them made some of the ships went over there. Nobody was alive when they got there. What was the situation? Why would there be a difference?
Okay, well, I mean, during the famine here in Ireland, in the space of 5 years, about 100,000 lives were lost at sea. And over 50,000 of those were in 1847 alone, either on ships or in quarantine on arrival. So a lot of ships became known as coffin ships. But the Jeannie Johnston never actually lost one life out of all 16 voyages, which really was a remarkable record to have. And this was down to having a good captain, but she also had a qualified doctor on board, which made all the difference. The captain and the doctor worked so well together, there was no outbreaks of any deadly diseases. Some examples of, you know, trying to stop this was providing enough food. Now, when we say providing enough food, it was the basic foods. But a lot of ship owners did try to encourage emigrants to bring their own food. And you had a lot of captains that cut rations of food to save costs. Other things like the cleanliness of a ship. One very, very important thing was actually ventilation. Because on a lot of ships, when passengers came on board, doors and hatches were locked down at sea. And they were lucky to get a half an hour so often to go up on deck. And, you know, that was one of the most important things. So,
looking at the size of the ship, it's amazing that it would make it across the North Atlantic in 14 days or whatever. It's 40 days. 40 days. Oh, 40 days. Okay. So, under the circumstances, Americans want to know how the Irish found out about why did we become the recipients of the Irish? Why didn't they go someplace else?
Well, I mean, America and Canada were known as the land of promise and opportunity. It was the new world. It was encouraging more. People often ask me, how did people afford the cost of passage? You know, I mean, average passage on an immigrant ship was nearly half a year's wage. And it's said that a lot of this money actually came from people that had already left. So, you know, the story of emigration in Ireland goes back, you know, to the 1600s. Unfortunately, it was mass emigration during the potato famine. But the New World, the land of opportunity, a lot of people followed relatives that were there already.
And what was the politics of this, both in Ireland and in the United States? Did the government here in Ireland want these people to go, and was the government in the United States welcoming of them, or what can you say about that?
Okay, well, during the famine here in Ireland, a lot of poor Irish farmers didn't own their own land. They were paying rent to absentee landlords. And the population of Ireland at the time, you know, was estimated between 8 million and 8.6 million. Only 3% of this population lived here in Dublin, mostly living in rural country areas. And for these poor farmers, potato was the main staple diet. People always ask, was there not other food available to them? And it is said there was probably enough food here to feed the country four times over. But unfortunately, it was being used for export. When these farmers stole from their landlords, they faced jail, even prison ships, the penal colonies in Australia, just for stealing food to feed their families. So the way of looking at it was, they either stay and starve or leave. You know, a lot of them, they might have been paid passage by their landlords, and a lot of time, this was landlords wanted to clear their land. When they arrived in America, you know, they've got to find a new life. First thing they've got to do is try and find some work. That was a problem for them. I mean, a lot of them were very successful, going into so many different things, from agriculture, farming, construction, you know, building bridges, roads, canals, you know, railroads especially. At first, you know, things were maybe okay, but then at one point, you know, maybe New York, for example, they weren't very welcome. You know, and signs up on street corners or ports saying no dogs and no Irish. You know, the problem with that was in New York at that time, if you had an Irish name, chances were you weren't going to find work. So unfortunately, a lot of people had to anglicise their names or drop the Mac or drop the O in front of their name. And then if anyone tried to, you know, look back, or even today, to look back through their ancestral history, they can't do that because of the change in names.
But the key at the start was getting there and surviving, and that's where this ship came in.
That's exactly it, yeah.
Yeah, one last question. You were talking about surviving and all the questions about the potato famine and whatnot. This is such a big part of Irish history, and for years it was kind of buried. Now you see memorials in Philadelphia, in New York, obviously here in Dublin. Is this something that the kids are learning in school, are embracing the idea that, sure, our culture spun off and you may have relatives in the United States, because like my family, being an Irish American full across the board, that's exactly what happened. They fled because of the potato famine. So now is that history being explored more?
Yeah, I mean, to give you an example, when I was in school, I'm not going to tell you how long ago that was, okay, but when I was in school, you know, in our history books, there might be maybe one or two pages about the famine in our history books. We didn't actually learn a lot about it. Whereas today, what I've noticed is that schools are going more into this history, they're doing projects in school, and we quite often get a lot of school children coming on board, you know, to do tours of the ship, because they are talking about it a lot more. And it's a history that needs to be remembered, because like you say, it was forgotten for a long time.
All right, so you could hear they're talking about the potato famine, obviously the effect that that had on Ireland, and that Jeannie Johnson ship is very impressive, let me tell you. And if you do get a chance to come to Ireland, I would highly recommend checking out the Jeannie Johnson. The famine, as I said, was such a huge moment in the history affecting the demographics and whatnot of Ireland. And, you know, this is a very, very proud country, and I think it took them a long time to not embrace it so much, but talk about it a little bit more. Talk about what happened and how many people left Ireland, and what happened to the people who were left behind, and how the country was so potato dependent. I mean, this was the garden crop of the gentry, but you know, by the late 17th century, it was pretty widespread, and it was the it was a supplementary food and then a principal food at one time. So went the potatoes, so went Ireland, let's say. Hey, so in tracing your roots, I'm curious if any of you have traced your roots, and do you know much about your family history? Would you want to know more about your family history? You see Ancestry.com, and there's even a television show on NBC about that. Give me a call, 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
For years, you've been hearing about Herbal Healer Academy and how it's remained the leader in effective, alternative, and natural medicine and education. But how can they continue to hold that title for years on end? The answer is high quality and huge selection. Just visit herbalhealer.com and shop online or request a free catalog. You're bound to find the alternative you're looking for. Did you know that Herbal Healer carries the latest, safest, and effective weight loss products? You can also count on Herbal Healer for the largest selection of safe and natural supplements just for children. And don't forget your pets. Herbal Healer even has natural mineral supplements for all your animals, including horses, cows, and birds. Take a peek at their online calendar, and you're sure to find everything you need and maybe something you didn't realize you needed. Visit herbalhealer.com, and don't forget to sign up for the free Herbal Healer newsletter. Herbalhealer.com, working with the power of nature.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
So you don't want to carry a gun, but you do want to ensure your personal safety? Then empower yourself legally with self-defense products from StunGunMics.com. Stun guns come in more shapes than just what you see on TV. Now you can get a powerful mini stun gun that fits in the palm of your hand, a stun baton, or a cell phone or lipstick stun gun. StunGunMice.com also carries real spy gear like bug and metal detectors and discreet car and home security cameras that hide in almost any type of everyday object, from alarm clocks to pens. Now you can see how your babysitter really treats your children. Go to StunGunMice.com, spelled just like it sounds, StunGunMice.com. Buy real spy gear from StunGunMics.com, just like the exact same spy gear sold to the government, military, corporate security, law enforcement, and private detectives. Empower yourself with self-defense products now from StunGunMics.com.
Iodine protection packs from HempUSA.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Manning rolls to his left, throws on the run. Decker's got it at the 15, wide open to the 10, inside the 5. He's going to be into the end zone, and Denver's got a touchdown. Eric Decker, his first touchdown reception of the season.
It's massive, baby. Stands in, throws it right side. Diving catch. Mooney. Touchdown. Wow, what a catch by Brandon.
That quick throw left side, picked off Kareem across the 50, the 40 right sideline, has room for 30, 20, 10, 5, touchdown, Kareem Jackson, the second pick six of the game.
High step drop for Castle, good protection, goes over the middle, it is picked off by Butler, to the 10, to the 5, Donald Butler, touchdown, San Diego, high stepping on in, 18-yard interception return.
And this was a quick ball out here to the flat.
America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. Hey, everybody. What a weekend in the NFL. I am broadcasting live from Dublin, Ireland. I have to say the people in Dublin weren't really talking too much about American football. In fact, they were focused on Rory McIlroy and the fact that the Europeans came back in the Ryder Cup and crushed the Americans. Well, crushed them in a sense because they were down 10-6. And the improbable, they came back and they win 14.5 to 13.5. That happened in Chicago, Illinois. So the eyes of the world, a lot of them were focused there. Naturally, nobody here for America Tonight, where we do the nail the score thing once a week, nobody nailed the score this time around. We have had a winner. Remember, Dave in Vermont stunned us at the beginning of the year and nailed it. So that was great since we hadn't had a winner in 2 years. Chris in Connecticut was the last person to do that. And listening to those great highlights that Matt put together, the Philadelphia Eagles, my team, I'm in a football pool, and every time I pick the Eagles, they lose. So this week I didn't pick the Eagles, and they win. They win. I have got to find another team. Can I turn my back on this team as I am loyal to them? But they win, and it was a thrilling end because of the long attempt at the field goal. So 19-17 was the final in that one. Arizona continues to roll. They do it in overtime, beating Miami 24-21. And some real stunners, I think, from over the weekend. San Francisco just pounding the Jets. You got to think that Tim Tebow, is this an option? Is this something that might happen for the Jets now because of their terrible play? I mean, 34-0 for New York. I wouldn't have thought that in looking at the board heading into the week at all. Now, I am in Ireland, and through the rest of the week I'm in Ireland. Bob Long is going to step in for me, and it's up to Bob. I told him it was up to him if he wants to do nail the score or not. There probably is a good chance that he may do it. I told him everybody likes it, so if he does do it, that'll happen on Thursday morning in our third hour. So remember, you have a chance to win a lot of swag from America Tonight, and more importantly, bragging rights. It's like playing the lottery, only you don't have to pay a buck or two to play. You just call in, and once the game is announced, you decide who's going to win and what the score is going to be. That's why we call it nailing the score. You know, in mentioning sports, they are big sports people here in Ireland, both in the north and in the southern part of the Republic of Ireland, which has more people, 4.5 million live in the Republic of Ireland, meaning Dublin, etc., on down, versus the 1.5 million that live in Northern Ireland. But they can all relate to this. The big sport here, besides rugby, is hurling, and the All-Irish Championship was going on in Dublin over the weekend. In fact, just wrapped up the other day. What happened was, of the 32 counties, Galway and Kilkenny were left. Kilkenny, which has been the dominator in the matchups between themselves and Galway and winning the championships, won again. They won 3-22 and 3-11. They played at Croke Park, and 86,000 people showed up. In a sense, kind of like their Super Bowl, and people were watching it in the pubs all over Ireland. This is a native sport to this country, and they wholly embrace it, and the people that play it become, some of them become household names, superstars, if you will, and this was no exception. There was a lot of excitement over the two teams toying with one another. In fact, toy is the right word. I have the copy of the Irish Times when I got up this morning, and the headline said, King Henry enters new realm as cat's toy with the tribesmen. In Ireland, I had a chance not only in a short amount of time to be here, stationed in Dublin, at the Hotel Clontarf, which the people are wonderful. I also had a chance to go to Northern Ireland and Belfast. And Belfast, of course, has had its struggles over a period of time from the 60s on, but now they're turning a corner and things are starting to loosen up there. And really, the animosity between the Catholics and the Protestants. So the good news is they're seeing some real changes, and tourists are coming there, and they've got a great museum that they've opened up that features the Titanic. It's the Titanic Belfast, and the people are coming from all over, all corners of the world to see this new exhibit. It just opened really in May, and they were expecting to have perhaps 400,000, and instead they already have had 500,000, may get up to 1 million by the end of the year. And it's that love affair, that fascination of the Titanic, and you can see where it was built, you can see the shipyard. There's actually some photographs that were taken by a priest named Father Brown. This is the whole thing about the Titanic that I think is fascinating to a lot of people. And Father Brown he was on the Titanic as it sailed down Ireland, but then got off of the Titanic, and he was taking photographs, and a billionaire that was on board wanted to hire him, wanted to pay for his passage, wanted him to stay and take more photographs. And he had an uncle who wrote and told him, don't get off that boat, don't stay on the boat. So he did. So Father Brown heeded his advice, got off the boat, and then the rest is history. So he wanted to stay, didn't stay. And some of the last photographs of the Titanic actually leaving Ireland are from the photographs that he took, and you can see them at this Titanic Museum. It's very inspiring, without a doubt. And the road getting to Belfast, as I'm giving you snippets of my Ireland and what I've seen, is just chock full of history. Unbelievable things you see along the way. Remember C.S. Lewis and the Chronicles of Narnia? This is what inspired him. One of the areas not too far outside of Dublin, but, you know, kind of at that in-between point, the hills and all the green and whatnot. There's a lot of literary influences of the Irish writers that you can see all around. I mean, you can see their personal influences and see what they've spurned on in other writers. But here it is, deep-seated here in both corners, Dublin and Belfast and everywhere in between. Even when you go to Belfast, you can see these certain hills that they say Jonathan Swift, after he had a couple of pints perhaps, saw, and he looked at the hills and thought he saw the head of a giant, and he wrote Gulliver's Travels. I'm thinking, when I was a kid, that was one of the first movies I can remember that scared me. I remember seeing Gulliver's Travels, and we've seen that, of course, that's been remade. So think of those roots going back to Jonathan Swift, how long ago, and what he was seeing and the inspiration that he got from the Irish countryside. And that seems to be the prevailing theme, that some of these writers are influenced by the culture, influenced by the landscape, the people of Ireland. And I've just scratched the surface here. There are many, many others, and including in the music industry and the art world, too, people of Irish descent and their influences from the people of this very wonderful country. Van Morrison, you know, Brown Eyed Girl, he's another one. He's an Irish guy who penned a lot of his songs in Ireland and has a home both in the Belfast area and also in the United States. So a lot of people who end up sometimes moving on are still keeping those roots, which is part of the reason why I'm here for the gathering in 2013. You have a chance to be part of it, whether you're Irish born or you have Irish ancestry, or you lie and you say you're a little bit Irish. You can always be Irish in spirit. You can join in the year-long celebration of Ireland, its people, and everything, of course, that makes it so rich. And there's a way where you don't have to miss out on the music, the culture, the festivals, the fun. You can get your own gathering together and come on over. To get more information, go to discoverireland.com, discoverireland.com/The Gathering. Hang through.
You store guns, ammo, and food and water. But do you store peace of mind when it comes to your firearms? Now you can with DuraCoat. The last thing anyone needs is a firearm that won't work when you need it most. Improve the factory finish and DuraCoat your firearms once for a lifetime of protection against rust and corrosion. And DuraCoat also protects against water, salt water, mud, grime, or whatever nature throws at you. The DuraCoat Shake and Spray Finishing Kit has everything you need to finish a complete firearm for just $34.95. No need for an airbrush or other spray equipment. Just degrease, then spray on DuraCoat and let dry for a lifetime of protection. DuraCoat is the simplest and most user-friendly firearm finish you can buy. Use DuraCoat on knives, camping equipment, or anything metal, plastic, or wood you want to protect from the elements. Call 800-830-6677 or visit DuraCoat.net. Spelled DuraCoat.net. DuraCoat, the finest firearm finish on the planet.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Right, right, you're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say. Right, you're bloody well right. You know you got a right to say. You're bloody well right. You know you're right to say. Yeah, yeah, you're bloody well right.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, broadcasting live from Dublin, Ireland, in the Hotel Clontarf. So excited to be here. The people are everything that they've been billed as. Wonderful, great personalities, humor, and making you feel very welcome. I mean, you know, tourism in so many areas, of course, is a huge part of what makes up the economic background of cities in America and places in Europe. And so we know that obviously people are going to, we would hope, would try to be embracing toward the tourists, but I think they go beyond that in Ireland. So the gift of the gab and, like I said, the humor and making you feel welcome is very, very real. You get that sense when you meet the people. As I came into the hotel being thoroughly exhausted from the flight, the bellman couldn't have been more hilarious and joking about the state of my hair and the fact that they had hair products and a hair dryer. And they're willing to bust your chops, I guess, is what I'm saying. So anybody who's listening that has roots in Ireland, especially, I want to hear from you. But if you've ever traced your roots, give me a call because I wanted to see what that was like. Or if you have remember questions from your grandparents and telling you stories of the old country, I think that stuff is absolutely fascinating. When you want to know who you are, where did you come from, how did it all start, where were your ancestors? 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. And don't feel badly if you didn't nail the score. This was a very odd week in the NFL, although I keep saying that every week is odd, except for you had the regular referees. You didn't have the replacement refs, so you couldn't complain about that. You had some wild finishes once again, and you can see some patterns certainly emerging. And the Jets, I think, may be the biggest team in trouble. They look absolutely terrible, got completely blown out. When you put a goose egg on the board, that's never, ever good. All right, back to the business of Ireland here, and then we're going to go to the mailbag. The being in Dublin, I feel like I want to tell you a little bit about Dublin. Over 4 million people live in the Dublin area. Very, very proud people. I've been talking about that, the literary culture and that kind of stuff, and all there is to see and do, a lot of it wrapped around the history of the past and currently where they're going. As in many other cities, like in the United States, too, as well in many of our cities, here people, kids are getting computer degrees, and the focus is on technology in the future, like designing apps, and those kind of opportunities are available. Trinity College, a lot of kids who want to become lawyers or doctors or that kind of thing go to Trinity College, and for across the board for other degrees too. And that seems to be part of the heart of the city. Even if somebody's not going to college, it's got the amazing exhibit of the Book of Kells, where you're really talk about walking back in history. You are definitely walking back in history if you go and see the thousands of year old books that they have in the stacks there in that library. And for tourists, it's a must see destination, not just because of the Book of Kells. At one point they had Dracula, Bram Stoker's Dracula, and that's supposed to be the number two book in the world. So there's plenty to do, and the people are known for being engaging but having that sense of humor that I mentioned. Some say it's caustic, but I think it's funny. I think it's that busting your chops and joking around and having the nicknames immediately for people and whatnot, and I guess that's what I believe to be so embracing about Dublin, without a doubt. And we've only scratched the surface here. We've got more shows. We had another show we're going to do here, and of course more hours on America Tonight as well, and we'll bring you more tidbits of it. One thing that I thought was interesting is driving on the other side of the road, which I have not attempted to do, and nor do I think I'm going to drive on the other side of the road. It's very confusing when you grow up in the United States, and of course where we drive and where the steering wheel is on the car, completely opposite when you're talking about being on the left side. And as you're a passenger, as I was, driving for hours in a car, it's a very strange feeling when you haven't done it to be on the left side of the road. And you know, when we talk about the speed limits and stuff like we do in the United States, the speed limits on the main thoroughfares are over 70, and I can relate to that, as we've talked about in Texas, the fact that we've got highways that are 70, and they're going to have one that's 80, which is just absolutely shocking and scary, I think. And then in the smaller areas, the more rural areas, of course, it's the speed limit is more in the 60s, 62 or so. All right, well, without further ado, as I promised, many of you have sent in emails, so let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Ah, we do have mail. Where is everybody, by the way? I'm going to beat you up. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. All right, we have this one from Michael, who is listening to us in Vermont, and he says, "Hey, Kate Delaney, how neat that you get to go to Ireland. I actually have Irish roots in my family. I'm still trying to figure it out. I'm still trying to trace it back. But I think it's exciting that you're in Dublin, and I heard you say you were going to Belfast. How did that work out for you?" Michael, thanks for the email. In fact, I did go to Belfast, and I would recommend it to anyone. The the center of what's happening there now, it's because it's so brand new, is the Titanic Museum. It's like a museum. They call it the Titanic Experience, and you get to go in there and experience what it was like for the Titanic being built in Belfast, because people are fascinated by the story of the Titanic, I think, and they've seized the opportunity here. Talk to somebody at the visitor experience, they call it, and one of the guides told me 150 people actually have jobs there, which is great because that's part of it, turning the economy around when it had such a bad economy because of the problems they had in Northern Ireland. So there's a lot to do there. There's music and there's some great restaurants and that kind of thing, and a lot of history to see there. But a lot of it centers around the Titanic and centers around some of the other sites to see, like the King Albert Tower, which is actually leaning because of the sand underneath it. When you drive around, you can see it. It's funny. You think of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, and where else you get to see any structure like that leans? Well, I can tell you, Northern Ireland in Belfast. All right, let's go to another one. This one from Jake, who listens to us in Austin, Texas, and Jake says, way to go. Drink a Guinness for me. I've been to Ireland. I'm glad that you finally got a chance to go over and see the old country. Where is your family from? You know, the whole genealogy thing is new to me, and it's made my mother crazy, where she's had to try to dig up anything she could find out about the Delaneys, because my full name is Catherine Shana Fitzgerald Delaney. So the Fitzgeralds are from Tullamore, and the Delaneys are from Cork. We believe that there were some that stayed behind. My family fled because of the potato famine and came in through Canada. One family came in through Canada. The other came in through New York. So I'm doing that while I'm here. I'm looking back and trying to find some information out about them. And I do have core information as to who came and what happened once they got to the United States, settling in Philadelphia. The one side of the family was in Philadelphia. The other one was in Pittston, PA, which was a big coal mining town. And it makes sense if you think of some of the industries of Ireland way back when, they would have that skill set. All right, here's another one. This one from Anne, who says, Kate, I've been over to Ireland several times. I would say one of the things that you can not miss doing actually is going to see the Jameson factory. It's really neat. I don't even drink whiskey, but it was a great experience to go and see how they produce it, and it's such a big part of Irish culture, and people think of, when they think of whiskey, they think of Jameson, or so I'm told. Wondering if you spent any time there. The first day I was here and touring some of the highlights, that was definitely on the map. And it is kind of a neat place to learn the history of the producing of it and how they made money on it, and how it was one of those, a big part of bringing money back into Ireland by exporting that whiskey. And they exported thousands and thousands and thousands of cases of it. Thanks for listening. Remember, if you have any thoughts on the show, you can send them to me at americatonight.net. Click on contact and bada bing, you are in.
I've got a really bad hangover, so if you aren't willing to have a sensible conversation, I'm just going to shut the curtain.
Safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All renovation teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order renovation teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.